Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Wolf Sports Show. This is David Chapin. We had a very entertaining week one of the NFL season. A few comebacks, a few great primetime games, some surprises, some defenses flying around. So it was fun and good to see teams on the field for the first time to see what they're about and as they find their footing early in the season. For this week, I'm just going to run down the matchups from week one since it was the first time we've seen these teams on the field. And as always, every week you can find plenty of content on wolfsports.com, including fantasy stuff and more. So the season opener, Chiefs-Ravens. Kansas City maybe didn't play an exceptional all-around game. Not extremely sharp, but they did enough, defended home field. Xavier Worthy scored two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving. Showed his record-breaking 40-yard dash speed, where he can take it to the house if you give him an opening. And it was by the tip of the cleat, but the defense made a stop at the end when they needed it. On the Ravens side, they were pretty disappointed with that tight loss. Almost didn't want to accept that Isaiah Likely was out on that final play. Remember, Lamar Jackson missed potential touchdown throw earlier that drive to the corner. Missed some throws throughout the night, so that probably added to the frustration from the team. They were right there, and they'll feel good about their chances if they face the Chiefs again in January. And despite some misses as a passer, it was good to see Jackson run more. There were sort of some whispers throughout the broadcast about that maybe he wasn't 100% in the AFC title game last year when he didn't really run, which was a head-scratcher, but he ran plenty, scrambled back in the pocket to get away from the pass rush, and then just as a runner scrambling, racked up over 100 yards, and that's when they're at their best, when he's doing that. And I like the involvement of Likely. Had a great game, over 100 yards, touchdown, and of course just missed that final touchdown by a toe. They'll be more dangerous with him incorporated with Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, and Derrick Henry once they get the line clicking up front. On Friday night, not a great playing surface in Brazil. First ever Brazil game, first ever Southern Hemisphere game for the NFL between the Eagles and the Packers. For Green Bay, they lost Jordan Love at the end of the game. Thankfully, just a knee sprain. Sounds like he even has a shot, outside shot probably, to play this week, but not going to miss much time, it sounds like. They had explosive plays led by Jaden Reed, a couple of touchdowns, but I thought Jordan Love missed too many throws throughout the game. I mentioned him and Tua Tagovailoa last week, each getting huge contracts, and obviously Love expected to hit those throws with Matt LaFleur scheming guys open in his offense. And remember, as mentioned last week, entering his second season as the starting quarterback there. For the Eagles, wasn't perfect, similar to the Chiefs. Defense gave up some big plays. Looked bad at times, but made enough plays when needed. The offense, I think Jalen Hurts getting acclimated to the new attack, but Saquon Barkley fit right in easily behind this elite offensive line. Still looks certainly one of the best in the league, even without Jason Kelce in this at center. Barkley had three touchdowns, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, and helps make them dangerous to stop with all the weapons they have. Moving to Sunday, Saints blew out the Panthers 47-10. Got out of hand very early, so not a great start for Carolina. Had the worst record in the league last year. Bryce Young threw an interception right away. Still not really in a great spot. They added pieces around him. Dave Canales, new head coach. Looks like it's going to take some time, though, and hopefully Young can work through what was an incredibly difficult situation to start his career last year, and you want to see progress from them. But unfortunately lost Derek Brown, star defensive lineman, to a torn meniscus. I think fair to say their best player. That increases the degree of difficulty for a team projected to be among the bottom in the league. For the Saints, couldn't have gone much better. Derek Carr, very efficient, spread the ball around, ran the ball well with Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams. Defense, Alante Taylor had a few sacks as a defensive back, so that was impressive. And the new offense under Clint Kubiak, new offensive coordinator. Excellent start for them, and they'll be tested this week against the Cowboys. Vikings blew out the Giants. It had hurt extra for New York to see Saquon Barkley do that for the Eagles a couple of nights before their loss. Offensive line still didn't play well. Daniel Jones struggled. Seems to be some frustration early. Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns mostly shut down by the Vikings tackles. Minnesota defense made plays. Brian Flores might have had some extra motivation. Remember, thought he was going to get hired by the Giants as the head coach when they got Brian Daboll turned out to be that it was Daboll was the brine they were hiring. Sam Darnold, again, in a good spot with those tackles, that offensive line, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones looked good in his team debut. And now they'll be tested after a blowout win. They face the Niners this week. The early season struggles for the Bengals continued. I mentioned how Joe Burrow had a full summer, was healthy. That was great to see. But then suddenly T. Higgins had a hamstring injury in practice last week, didn't play, looks doubtful to play this week. And the Ja'Marr Chase situation was staging the hold-in, didn't practice throughout the summer. So that wasn't ideal, despite Burrow being healthy. And I think the vibes, Chase not happy, wants a new contract, might have led to another rusty start for Cincinnati. At home, they were the biggest favorites of week one against the Patriots, yet New England won by 6. For the Pats, give them credit for playing great defense. Good to see second-year cornerback Christian Gonzalez healthy on the field, covering Ja'Marr Chase. And they followed the formula they made clear was going to be their strategy this season, riding the run game. Ramondre Stevenson had 25 carries, 28 touches. And we'll see, maybe they can be more competitive than expected if they can keep up strong defense and run the ball, control the clock. Jacoby Brissett make enough plays to keep drives moving. Steelers-Falcons was a defensive battle. Pittsburgh won 18-10 in Atlanta. 6 field goals by Chris Boswell. Russell Wilson didn't start due to his calf injury. Justin Fields played, did enough. They avoided the middle of the field, and Jesse Bates, which Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator, that was the head coach of Atlanta last year, said was by design, didn't want to force or allow Bates an opportunity to make a turnover. And on the other side, the Falcons couldn't and didn't do similar things to TJ Watt, who sort of took over the game, had a sack, fumble recovery, another strip sack that was overturned by a questionable penalty. Secondary played extremely fast. Deshaun Elliott and Dante Jackson, two new pieces in the secondary, had interceptions of Kirk Cousins. Najee Harris had 20 carries. Not a ton of yardage, but I don't think Mike Tomlin minds that type of game. Would like to get in the end zone, I'm sure, but could have a similar matchup in Denver this week. For Atlanta, they felt limited offensively. Remember Kirk Cousins' first game, coming off the torn Achilles from last year. First game on a new team. And now a challenging first road game, Monday Night Football at Lincoln Financial Field, taking on the Eagles. The Texans beat the Colts 29-27 in Indy. I believe I mentioned the importance of the addition of Joe Mixon was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for the Texans. Was fed the ball. He just finds a way to get positive yardage. Runs hard, is versatile. And having him in the backfield is going to make things easier in C.J. Stroud. Stephon Diggs scored 2 touchdowns in his team debut, and big for the Texans to get an early AFC South win on the road to begin their year. They'll now play on Sunday Night Football against the Bears. For Indy, despite the home loss, I think fans should be encouraged by their performance. Anthony Richardson, one of the best throws you'll ever see, was under pressure, could barely step into it, and launched like 65 yards in the air to Alec Pierce. Couldn't get Jonathan Taylor going on the ground as much as they would have liked, I'm sure. They'll have to feed him this week against the Packers team that, again, was just lit up by Saquon Barkley. The Bills started slow at home, down 17-3 to the Cardinals. Outscored him 31-11 the rest of the way, 134-28. Greg Rousseau, I don't know if I mentioned him on the show last week or just in my season preview, was somebody the Bills needed to step up. Of course, just week one, but I think, like in the playoffs when you're facing teams like the Chiefs and Ravens, for him to get home and get sacks. He had 3 last week in week one, so that's a great sign. Von Miller, I thought, showed flashes getting near Kyler Murray, forcing him into some pressure. Murray was a headache early in not letting Buffalo's defense get off the field, scrambling around, making plays. Eventually, the Bills honed in, contained the Cardinals, and got the win behind 4 touchdowns from Josh Allen. And now they go to Miami to face the Dolphins to kick off week 2 on Thursday Night Football on Prime Video tonight. For Arizona, somewhat of a similar story to last year. Maybe don't quite have the talent. Came out, played hard. Bills, just a better team at this point. They're not going to be an easy out this year, the Cardinals. And this week against the Rams will be big as they look to compete for a playoff spot. Early divisional matchup in the NFC West. And not a great debut for Marvin Harrison Jr., number 4 overall pick at receiver. We'll see if they get him more involved after Buffalo sort of took him away. Bears came back from a 17-0 deficit to beat the Titans 24-17. The offense couldn't find any rhythm for Chicago. Caleb Williams clearly wasn't on the same page with his receivers for much of the game. Had under 100 yards passing, but they had a punt block return touchdown by Jonathan Owens. And then a key go-ahead pick six from Tyreek Stevenson to win it on an ill-advised decision by Will Levis to sort of football out there into the flat as he was going down. And Stevenson took advantage. We're going to need to see more from the Bears offense, of course, against the Texans this week. But the result in week one, the 1-0 start, sort of speaks to the situation that Caleb Williams, as a number one overall pick, finds himself in. Uncommon, solid situation there with a defense, special teams, talented players on offense to have early success as a team and as a player as he gets his footing and gets on the same page with his receivers. For the Titans, pretty crushing loss to come out the way they did and then lose. Will Levis, in addition to the bad decision on the pick six, missed a couple of deep throws. A lot of their season is going to ride on him. Added a bunch of veteran pieces past two off seasons, expecting to compete, and would be big, obviously, to get a win against the Jets this week. The offense came back to beat the Jags after leading the NFL in passing last year. Tua Tagovailoa had the most passing yards of week one, leading the comeback effort. It was good to see Devin Achane involved as a receiver. Caught all seven of his targets for 76 yards. However, he's dealing with an ankle issue, and Raheem Mostert is dealing with a chest issue. Mostert's out for tonight against Buffalo and could miss more time after that. Achane sounds like he's going to play. We'll see how much we see of Jalen Wright, another super explosive running back, rookie out of Tennessee. For the Jags, Travis Etienne had a costly fumble going into the end zone and fumbled out of the end zone for a touchback. I think it'll be better for this, though, and like Doug Peterson said, they're not going to shy away from him, even though they kind of did after the fumble last week. And Trevor Lawrence had one of the thirds of the week in the loss. Brian Thomas not even approaching his break, really, and Lawrence let it go to the end zone and was a perfect throw when Brian Thomas, the rookie receiver out of LSU, got behind the defender on the back line. And the Jags can really be scary if Lawrence gets in a groove with a receiving group that I think matches him well. Seahawks held on to beat the Broncos 26-20 in Seattle. The Niners aside, who we'll get to, I think the Seahawks might have been the most impressive team of week one, especially because that defense. Denver just couldn't get much of anything going until Bo Nix started running. The receivers for the Broncos were totally blanketed by the Seahawks. Devin Witherspoon, who also had some timely blitzes in the win, and Reek Woolen shut down the passing game for Denver, picked Nix off two times, forced him into bad decisions because really they had everything covered. And Nix was, I would think, to some extent, getting frustrated with not much being there. Sean Payton for Denver says the receivers need to step up. He said he was telling them that throughout the game. Look for Nix to do more with his legs if he needs to, starting earlier in the game. This week against the Steelers, especially trying to get away from TJ Watt. And hopefully the Broncos have enough speed and juice, especially when they encounter top defenses. But yeah, the Seahawks, extremely impressed with them. The offense, plenty of weapons there in addition to the defense. We know about the receivers, Ken Walker. And Zach Charbonnet had a touchdown. Kenny McIntosh could get more involved on offense as well as a receiver. So yeah, I'd keep an eye on the Seahawks being legitimate contenders this season. The Chargers beat the Raiders, separated in the fourth quarter. As I said in my week two power rankings, it felt like the Chargers did to the Raiders what the Raiders were doing to a lot of other teams last season. Just playing solid football, avoiding mistakes. Raiders had three turnovers, Chargers none. And Jim Harbaugh, it's just, as I've said, just a matter of time before he gets them competitive and a good start to take out a division opponent in week one. Ladd McConkey had a touchdown, rookie second-round receiver, showed off his nice juke moves that were trademark at Georgia, made a couple of guys miss near the goal line, got in for his first career touchdown, and it was good to see J.K. Dobbins, 10 carries, 135 yards, and a touchdown. He's got to get his full speed back. You could see, coming off another serious injury last year, but a good story there with him rounding back into form. For the Raiders, need to get Davante Adams more involved, Brock Bowers more involved. Joe Walt, I should have mentioned, for the Chargers, did a nice job limiting Max Crosby. Need to see more from Crosby. I think we will this week against the Ravens, but a good sign for LA to get contributions from Ault and McConkey early. The Cowboys handled the Browns 33-17. Game was not quite as close as the two-possession margin, 16-point margin, indicates. On Sunday morning, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott agreed to a new four-year contract worth $60 million per year. That was pretty stunning, not that they agreed to a long-term deal, but that it was $60 million. I could see Dak breaking what Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, and Jordan Love got at $55 million per year, maybe 56, 57. To see Dallas go to 60 was pretty shocking. I guess Dak had leverage. They couldn't franchise tag him out for the season, and both sides wanted to get something done. And so now they paid Dak and CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons would have to be next. For the defense, first game under new coordinator Mike Zimmer, certainly did well. Had Deshaun Watson uncomfortable afternoon. Offense was balanced, made plays when they had to. Early touchdown from Dak to Brandon Cooks. Ezekiel Elliott looks to have plenty of game left in the tank, despite many doubters. For the Browns, I don't know, Deshaun Watson has another sexual assault allegation against him from 2020. You would have to think at this point, if there's a way for the Browns to get out of that contract, they'll do it and find a quarterback another way. For this season, I mentioned they shouldn't hesitate to play Jameis Winston if necessary. You don't want to overreact to one game, but Watson simply hasn't been the same as he was with the Texans when he was arguably a top 3 to 5 quarterback. I expect both sides of the ball for the Browns to be better this week against the Jaguars. And that was Tom Brady's first game for Fox. I thought it was interesting and he did a nice job. And you could see how much he cares about the game and gets into it and didn't like do anything annoying, as can happen a lot of times for announcers. I think he'll be really good at this, and it'll be cool to have the GOAT calling games during the falls and winters. The Bucks handled the Commanders. Baker Mayfield threw 4 touchdowns, 2 to Mike Evans, 1 to Chris Godwin, 1 to Jalen McMillan, the rookie who I mentioned last week. Both Rashad White and Bucky Irving, rookie running back out of Oregon, involved on the ground. Defense didn't let Washington and Jaden Daniels get much going through the air, although they struggled to contain Daniels on the ground. But now for Tampa, they're down their second, third, and fourth cornerbacks for this week against the Lions, so that'll be tough trying to contain that offense with those injuries. For Washington, Daniels mentioned what he did with his legs, 2 touchdowns, already one of the most dangerous quarterbacks on the ground in the league. Surprisingly, missed a deep ball to Terry McLaurin. Don't see that often. That's probably the best part of Daniels' game as a passer. The deep ball, which was extremely accurate at LSU and at Arizona State as well. And he'll have more of an opportunity, I think, to have success through the air against the Giants this week. On Sunday Night Football, it was a great one. Lions beat the Rams in overtime. They got the ball first in OT. Went right down the field behind that offensive line. David Montgomery punched it in, and that's a great sign when it almost feels inevitable for the Lions to just ride the O-line and run right down the field. Jameson Williams was one of my picks to break out, become a total star. Great start for him, career high in yardage, a deep touchdown on a smooth double move, and that's a scary combination with him. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was quiet on Sunday night, but certainly will get more involved as the season progresses. But I wouldn't be surprised if JMO is like an easy 1,200-yard receiver in 2024. And for the defense, I like how very quickly defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn wanted the corners to go man. He got them, and they played a lot of man coverage against the Rams. And they haven't had DJ Reader yet in the lineup up the middle to join Ali McNeil. The Rams already decimated by injuries. The offensive line depleted early. Puka Nacua, his knee issue from the summer, was worsened in week 1. He's out at least a month. Sounds like quite a bit more, potentially. The good news for the Rams, Cooper Kupp looks to be in his 2021 form, healthy. Matthew Stafford, very comfortable throwing to him. And the defense ran out of gas at the end. But overall, solid showing, holding Detroit to 20 points in regulation on the road. And then finally, on Monday night, Niners came out, looked like the juggernaut that they are. Having Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk on the field helped. Christian McCaffrey was out, but Jordan Mason stepped in, had a huge game, well over 100 yards, a touchdown. It was awesome to see that. I thought he's always run well when being given opportunities. Former undrafted player out of Georgia Tech. Now the clear backup to McCaffrey this season. The Niners are going to be cautious with CMC, given that it's a long year. They have aspirations to play deep in the playoffs and for a Super Bowl again. Defense gave up one long drive early in the first quarter. Other than that, they mostly shut down the Jets. For New York, remember, it was basically the first game in a couple of years for Aaron Rodgers. First full game, given the Achilles injury to begin week one last year. Might take some time for him to get back into a full rhythm. Definitely showed flashes, can certainly still sling it. Hit Alan Lazard for a couple of touchdowns, including on a free play, which he's the best at. Got to be disappointed by the defense, though. The way they were run all over and weren't totally shut down in the pass game either. Was a tough first opponent, obviously, facing the Niners on the road. They need to have a much better, consistent all-around effort this week against the Titans while looking to avoid 0-2. That'll do it for this week's episode of the Wolf Sports Show. Again, plenty of content on wolfsports.com as well, so check that out. First game on Prime of the year tonight, Thursday Night Football, good one. Bills Dolphins. Enjoy that. Enjoy the week. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.